Very good. Jed, I heard you saying some opening words. Let me just greet the group here and say welcome to all of you for our Media Bids Power Hour. And today is a magical day for two reasons. Number one, you are here. Number two, it is my birthday. My wife said, aren't I taking you for a nice lunch? I said, look at my schedule. Not today. How about tomorrow? So it's a magical day, and we're delighted all of you are here. And the common thread for all of you and for all of us is that we are passionate about publishing and advertising sales success. And that's a very important part of what we do. We've been doing this for years and years. I began this in 1995. Jed and I have been rolling along for the last five, 6 years doing this together, just a whole wide variety of topics that is always focused on helping you make money, drive your advertising sales, renew more, and certainly earn more commission. So that's all tied in what we do as well. Okay? Jed, how about some opening words to the group, and then we're going to roll in. We'll talk about the key points that we're going to cover, and then we'll dive in and field some of the questions as well. Okay?
Great. Well, first of all, I want to start by thanking everyone for coming, and also thanking mostly Ernest. He really brings the majority of the knowledge to these calls, and he's been around the publishing world for a long time, and has some great ideas. So I'm sure this call will be no different. The Media Bids is a marketplace for buying and selling print advertising. We give your publication the opportunity to sell to advertisers that you wouldn't otherwise be reaching. You know, we'd be happy to talk to you more about it, give you more information, and get you started. Using Media Bids is an easy process. There's no cost, and we'd love to get anyone who isn't already involved started. You can reach us in the follow-up emails. We'll include a phone number, but you can always reach us by just coming to www.mediabids.com, and our contact information is there.
Perfect. Wonderful. And, Jed, what a delight to be rocking with you. Last month we did a wonderful call related to much of what Media Bids provides for your clients and the way you serve publishing companies. It was a fantastic call, great turnout. I think we had 7 or 8 pages of questions that came in. It was just simply fantastic. So always a pleasure to be rocking here together. And as always, to you, to June, to John, to your team behind the scenes, thanks for all you do in support of publications and publication success, and hence the reason we're here. This is also one part of that. So thank you. It's really tremendous. So to all of you, my name is Ernest. My company is Power Hour. I began my company 14 years ago. I work with hundreds of publications in 8 time zones around the world, working by phone, by email, by conference call, much like we're doing here. I get and understand publishing big time. My publishing goes back to the mid-80s. I've run my own publications, bought and sold publications. I was actually trained by Motorola and trained and certified by Xerox. And some of the things you're going to hear today come directly from that corporate training, the very, very best in the world, in my opinion, and you're going to hear how we tailored that and how I've utilized it throughout my entire publishing career and how you can benefit your team as well. In addition to providing coaching, business coaching and sales training for advertising teams, we provide executive recruiting, investment banking. We help our clients buy and sell publications, and then we have an entire team of 10 that help our clients monetize their website. We help you sell advertising at your website. We help you bundle print and web. We understand exactly how to do that, and we can help you just send an email as a follow-up to that. One quick note more, and then we'll dive into our topic. I also formed a group at LinkedIn, and if you'll just make a note, go to LinkedIn and just sort for a group called Advertising Sales Success. Advertising Sales Success. And then it specifically says packaging, website, and print strategies, okay? So not only are we talking about it, but we drink our own Kool-Aid. We have a wonderful group of publishing professionals that are interacting and engaging, and, of course, myself, I'm moderating it. So Advertising Sales Success, you'll find me, and ping that in, and we'll be chomping with you and rocking. Let's get going here, Jed. We're going to be talking today about maximizing your sales database. So all of you know, this is the Wheaties, this is the foundation, this is the platform, this is the base. If you want great sales, great renewals, and if you want to eat your competitor's lunch, you have to start here. The sun rises and sets on your sales database, all right? And this is, in many cases, quickly overlooked or ho-hum, we're golden, or yes, everything's in place. Please do not take that for what we're going to cover here today, okay? And a sales database, I hate the term, but garbage in, garbage out, is only as good as you make it, and only as good sales leaders on this call as you inspect what you expect. You've got to get it right. You've got to inspect what you expect. So there's 3 key points we're going to cover. four points we're going to cover. So, Jed, the first one, we're going to talk a little bit about sales database options for the publishing industry. Okay? So certainly we know the basics, the foundation. I actually run my company behind the scenes using ACT. 15,000 contacts with everything from where a person works, their publication, their URL, email addresses, phone numbers, all those good things. I use ACT just to drive in a very, very simple system. For those of you that have small operations and relatively smaller publications or just want to have some one-off systems for your salespeople, very easy to do. You can buy it one by one. You can also put it on a server and serve an entire team, and lots of freedom and flexibility from that perspective. Jed, I think ACT's been around for 20 years, right?
It has, yep.
Yeah, and I think it runs nowadays about $100, $120, a very low-key, for many of you that ask questions looking for a simple system, that's in place. For those of you that said, I'm still using Excel, I mean, we're going to try to scale this from the most basic and scale it up. For those of you still using Excel, I am begging you, that does not cut it, okay? Excel, Jed, in my corporate days, we used to call it the amazing, because it was amazing. You could sort it, you could slice it, you could dice it. Forget it. Those days are long over. You don't get any of the flexibility that you might imagine. Okay? Scaling it up. You can look at things like Sales Logic. You can look at things like Salesforce. Okay? They can also be further tailored to your publishing company. These are especially nice when you've got people working remote, meaning not just in your corporate office or main office, or if you've got people in different cities, states, regions, or countries. Sales Logic, Salesforce, Cloudware, what does that mean? You can dial in from anywhere, get access to your information. It can be password protected, password partitioned, so you can determine who gets access to what.
Right. So okay. The software is actually residing on someone else's computer. You're borrowing it, so to speak.
Absolutely. And for that, it's not X dollars to buy. There's a rental fee or a monthly subscriber fee related to that. Then we get into some of the other custom solutions and custom software, whether we're talking about Publish to Profit. We know some of you on this call utilize that. Whether we're talking about Magazine Manager or other kinds of solutions like that, there are many products out in the marketplace. Our call today is not about which one's best or what has the most bells and whistles. Frankly, here's the deal. Every publishing company has their own specific needs. You've got to choose software that aligns with your company's needs, your company's growth, your company's budgets, and your specific application, okay? For those of you that are presidents and owners and CEOs of your publishing company and you're on today's call, do know that, you know, this is one of those measure twice, cut once. You've got to invest the time for a short window of time to select the systems that will drive your company. But our call today really is about when the dust clears. It's not about picking software. It's about, in the end, assuming and anticipating you've got what you need. Now we need to be certain that the sales portion of it does what you need. Jed, a comment or observation on that?
Right. I mean, I think that's 99% of it, right, is how you use it. Most of the software out there does far more than any of us would ever need or use. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of how you actually use it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That is the key component to that. So another piece related to the point number one is the importance of backing up. Okay. We say this because it would be disrespectful to get all excited about any database that's driving our sales and revenue without including the words backing up and what your options are there. Please recognize it costs pennies to set up backup systems. It costs thousands or tens of thousands of dollars to restore. So we just want to clarify that when you're working around a sales database of any kind with any publishing company, Universal, you want backup on site so that you can restore right there if something were to crash or you wanted to access a file, you want on-site backup. And, of course, the same goes in your production department, your operation, your accounting, your finance. You get our drift here, but this is we would be remiss without talking about it on the sales side. Recognize that an on-site backup, though, if you ever had theft at your location or fire, okay, that's kind of a dark thought, but let's be honest. If there was fire or theft and your computers were removed and so was your backup, you have no backup. Wow, very obvious. Sounds simple. I can tell you over my 25 years and in the last 14 years, I've had more sad stories than not related to that. Another quick comment about backup, go make certain it's working correctly. Go delete a file and go find it and retrieve it. Okay? Sounds basic, But guess what? You don't want to wait until the day that you're doing a restoration to find that it wasn't actually backing up half or all of your database. Here's a little whisper for you that I learned with ACT 5 or 6 years ago. There's an embedded backup right in ACT that they want you to back up right there. When you do it, it zips the whole file, and that is a complete backup. And then we do a backup on-site and I do a backup off-site. If you don't do it that way, if you just do a backup of your hard drive and the changes, it pulls in the database, but it's scrambled. You can't go back in and rebuild it. So you want to learn those little nuances. Now, I did not learn a painful lesson, but I learned a lesson when I was doing a backup. Fortunately, we reconfigured it, got it tucked back in, and we were grooving. The last point about backing up is just remember, you back up off-site too, on-site and off-site. Every single day, 365, our system gets checked. It looks for all the files on the five computers behind the scenes that drive our company. And from that backup, it offloads it remotely off-site. There are systems like Iron Mountain, SOS, Mosey. They do a fabulous job, and I'm sure many of you have your own solutions. That's great. All that we care is that you have an internal game plan and a remote game plan related to backup. Bottom line related to point number one, your sales engine drives and feeds your marketing engine, and that's really a segue into the next 3 points that we're going to cover here today. Jed, any questions or comments? I know we also have one question related to point number one that I want to tuck in here. Let's see. We have a note from Catherine who says, do you recommend any particular CRM software? I use an Excel spreadsheet since I'm a smaller company. Catherine, we appreciate that. That's wonderful. Glad it's serving you well. But when you finish this call, and by the time you finish this call, and you listen to all the things you can do with a sales database software, it is volumes easier, tremendously faster, and you can get a whole lot more productivity from that perspective. For those of you that have questions during the course of this call, send an email to ernest@powerhour.com or hit reply to the email we sent you, and we'll tuck your questions in. So, Catherine, thank you so much for that question out of the gate. Jed, anything else related to point one before we dive into the meat here, two, three, and four?
No, I mean, I think the only thing I would add is that you missed probably the number one reason to have a backup, and that is if you have salespeople using a piece of software, it will get screwed up eventually. So you may just need the backup to undo what they did that morning.
Very, very good. That's a great point. And listen, to Jay and to Michael, thank you for the notes. You're not sending questions in real time. You're sending happy birthday wishes. Thank you very much. I'm touched, gentlemen. All right, let's roll. Point number two. What is the most valuable information to have and keep in your sales database? Second part of the question, what is the McKay66 and how does this relate to driving publication and advertising sales? Okay, number one, this goes back to my Motorola, my Xerox training, and 25 years of being in the trenches working with publishing professionals and working with advertisers, okay? Number one, you want to capture in your sales database what was said or discussed. So if you're calling an advertiser and you're telling them that you're real excited because you're bundling your print, newsletter, and website, fabulous, make a note of that so you remember what you were talking about. And then if they said, we're taking it to our committee and budgeting, you make a note of that. All right? Very important. Or if you call and leave a voice message and you're excited about something new in your circulation or your distribution, or you've picked up some bonus circulation or exposure at an upcoming industry event and your competitors won't be there, make a note of that. LM, left message about exclusive show so that you can remember on 10/15 you left a message about that. Because what you don't want to do most, and this is one of the questions that are kind of floating out here, but I'll just skip into it. Many of you asked, you know, what is an ideal size of a prospect base in publishing? And it's generally, depending on the niche or sector, but generally 100 to 200 prospects. There is no way on God's green earth I can remember 200 prospects later what I said to Mary 2 weeks ago or 2 months ago. But if I use my sales database, I can. So always record what message you left, what you were focusing on. A little tip, because we've done this, Jed, in prior calls, pick the month of October and make that your month that you're going to leave messages about distribution or circulation. Take the month of November and get excited about your upcoming show that you just landed an exclusive in the first quarter. Okay? Take the month of December, and maybe that message is about cost effectiveness or cost efficiency or tracking results and measurable results that you want to share with those advertisers. Kind of have a theme for the month that makes it a little easier, but it does not skip over the keeping track in your sales database for the key information, what was said, and what was discussed. The next point, always, always, record something you learned about that individually, about that individual professionally. Something I learned about Mary is that Mary's on the board of the automotive association that I sell into. Wow, that's important. I need to remember that. So the next time I might ask Mary to invite me to that meeting, or the next time I'm talking to another prospect, I'll remember that Mary's a board member and so is Sam. So all of a sudden when I'm making a sales presentation, I'm drawing in the two. I was working with a group in Calgary, Canada, and he went on to tell me he's on the board of an association that I joined. Now, I gently knew that Michael was on that board, but he kind of jiggled my thinking, and I made a note of it. And then when I went to do some work with some clients in Vancouver and Toronto, I reminded them that I know Michael in Calgary and that I'm also doing work in the States on that same board, and it made it easy to move from sort of a cold contact to a warm, friendly, and we know each other. Those are the kinds of advantages. Those are the kinds of things you want to make note of. And I'll talk more about some of the specifics related to the McKay 66 here in just a little bit. So think about the things professionally. Jed, think back along the way in your own professional career. What are some of those examples of things that professionally that you might have made note of or you might remember about a client or a prospect?
Right. I mean, it could be anything, I guess, from mutual acquaintances, mm-hmm. In business. I mean, that tends to, often come up. A lot of times it's sort of geographically based, right? People will say, well, where's your company located? And they'll have a client in a similar area. So, I mean, those are just some examples that come to mind from mm-hmm. from recent experience. But it could be almost anything, from where what they've told you about their hopes and dreams for their company or mm-hmm. problems they're having or, personnel changes, anything.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All of the above. You better believe it. And so all of those things, the key is not to store it in our noggins. I'm really a believer to all of you that the mind is a computer with a hard drive. Okay, why is it that I can't remember what I ate, on my sixth birthday? All right, why can't I remember where I was on the 8th of June when I was 8 years old? Because our mind, we only can go so far. We might remember some of those things in our life. And why is it that I can't remember a conversation from 4 days ago? Jed will laugh and snicker because it's your birthday. You're old. Go ahead, Jed. I'm just setting you up there, man. The point is that even 50 or 100 calls later that you've made in a given week or month or even in a quarter, you're not going to remember all the nuances about Mary Brown and her being on the board of the automotive sector, but that is a really big deal when you go to get that sale. So what you learn professionally. Now, here's a whisper. Next point, what you learn personal. What you learn personal about that individual, that you might learn that Amber's passion is horses or that Amber has a daughter who's excited about horses. And on their vacation, they're going to go ride horses or compete in horses. Now, I don't know anything about horses, but I'd surely find something out that I could. And in a Google or two, I can put something on my screen and I might be the world's expert on equestrian horse jumping and I know nothing about it at this moment. But if I've got a large prospect or a large client that I'm developing a relationship, I have a genuine interest. This is not a fake gesture. I'm going to learn about what's interesting to them, period. Okay? But I'm going to record it in my sales database. You see, because this is, again, the classic example. If a tree falls in the woods and nobody hears it, did it fall? Jed, the answer is no. It didn't fall.
I was a philosophy major. It depends on what.
Okay, we got 30 minutes. Lay it out for me, baby. Let's go.
but you're right. But I think that, but even more important, as you mentioned, Ernest, is that it's not so much, we think we remember these things, right? Mm-hmm. But we don't, And so it's keeping it in a place where it's on the top of your mind when you need it the most.
Mm-hmm. You better believe it. I have had conversations with people where I say, the last time we spoke was June 12th, 1997. And they're like, you remember? I said, oh, yeah, and I also remember that you were heading out on vacation and you were going to New Hampshire. You got family there. How do you remember that? I do. I also remember that you have 6 real estate publications, 2 you wanted to sell. Did you ever sell them? And they're like stunned. And I'm like, I'm just asking. I make good notes. Okay, what they don't know is I've got 15,000 records that look like that, but I keystroked a couple of notes about key points. So learn what you can personally and record it, okay? Here's the next point, huge point related to a sales management database. You want to confirm what your next step or their next step. And I'm going to speak to the sales professionals on this side, and then I'm going to come over to sales managers and sales leaders and sales coaches and the owners and CEOs on this call. But sales professionals never, never move to the next call, the next email, the next action step without saying to yourself, what is the next step? Oh, that's right. I promised to send them our distribution list. Oh, that's right. They wanted to see a URL at our website. Oh, that's right. They wanted a media kit. Oh, that's right. We handled their renewal. Whatever that is, that goes in your note. That goes in your note. Because by definition, as salespeople, myself included, and you might say, Ernest, what are you doing with 15,000 records in your database, and you've got a note or two or three about each of those conversations? It's because I'm a sales professional. My permanent weak spot, my permanent blind spot, the reason I'm in sales, is that I do not have attention to detail. So I've got to discipline myself to put a couple of quick notes so that I can step back into a conversation 6 years or 16 years later and be ready to go. And it builds that immediate bond, and I move right past the, oh, by the way, are we going to work together, right into the, when are we getting started? So you're moving right into the version of not, are we placing an ad, but you're moving straight into, yes, of course we're working together, I just sent you the agreement. Okay, so what your next step or what their next step, what they're going to do next is meet with their board. What they're going to do next is meet with their sales team. What they're going to do next is meet with the CEO of the company to get permission to put advertising in your publication or your newspaper, your magazine, whatever that may be. Okay, and a little whisper for you, use the calendar function. The calendar function says that if I just spoke to Mary, the prospect who's going to buy 16 pages in my publication, hootie-hoo, and Mary says she's meeting with the CEO next Tuesday, you can all imagine I'm going to use the calendar function to put Mary in my calendar noon on Tuesday. So when I get up next Tuesday, I don't have to think. Again, the brain only has so much capacity. I don't have to think or function. I can open up my calendar and go, oh, it's Tuesday, and I'm breathing. I'm above ground. No one's throwing dirt at me. I'm feeling fabulous. And look who's on my calendar at noon on Tuesday. I might have put that note in there a week ago or a year ago. I might have a reoccurring event that I say, query Mary every 90 days so I can set up a frequency. These are the key things that you want your sales database to do for you. And if you have it and you're not using the calendar feature, guess what? Use it. All right? Let's pause here because we have a large group on the call. I'd love to see a quick ping from something you know about a prospect that you think is either unusual or you're really proud of. Unusual or you're really proud of is my challenge to you as you're rolling along here. Ping me an email to earnest@powerhour.com and we'll read those along. Now, here's the other side, the companion side. Managers, inspect what you expect. Okay? Inspect what you expect. You have to not only describe and define this for your team, but you also have to come back around the horn and you have to confirm it's being done. Now, in any database, it's easy to sort and say, I'm going to sort by my sales rep, Mary. I'm looking for all the changes in the database from the last month, put them on my screen. Mary has 200 prospects. I can see there have been changes in 54 of those. Okay, right at the gate, Mary touched one-fourth of her prospects. That's a good indicator. Rick touched 120 of 200. I'm intrigued. Okay, and Sam touched 20 of 200. Guess what? Before I even open up Sam's files, I'm concerned with Sam's performance. Okay, now, flip side, it's possible that Sam only worked with 20 and drove the most sales. As long as that's consistent, high five, Sam, good job. But if Sam touched 20 of 200 and had the worst sales, you can all guess, if you put your sales coaching cat on, what the words are. Look for trends, though. Look to see if what kind of information Sam's putting in there, or Amber, or Mary. Look to see if they're including personal and professional. Look to see if they are putting in next steps. If they're not, don't step over it. In my early publishing days, we had three-ring binders. Everybody had them. We had a stock card that was in there. At the end of every month, their binders came to me. In those binders, I'd pull out the red pen, and I'd go right through. Where's your next step? Where's your note personal? Where's your note professional? Jed, by the second, third month, the reps were, hey, Ernest, I get it. And by the time I got to the fourth month, the cards were golden. The same thing applies to a contact database. Inspect what you expect. Look for trends. Look to see if a rep leaves a message, and never gets to an appointment. They're having a problem converting. Look to see those that are booking appointment, and they're not generating sales. So you have to read it at two levels. You have to read at the level of, is there the meat in there that I need? And then the flip side, what are the prevailing trends? Sales managers, owners, one more comment, being very respectful. When a salesperson leaves your organization and that database is exactly what you want and it is current and accurate, if somebody chooses, unfortunately, to leave your company, myself or Jed, you can employ us the next day. We can step right in and work through that database, and it's updated and current. Okay? I know that's a bit of a dark pause, but you get my drift. Inspect what you expect. Ensure you're getting what it is you're supposed to be getting. Okay? Jed, comments or observations on that?
I guess my, you know, how do you deal with sort of the inevitable differences in the personalities of salespeople in terms of their ability to sort of get data from customers that that is not, you know, that is off the beaten track? Do you have sort of a minimum expectation of the types of things they're going to find out, or do you just or do you just kind of leave it up to them to, you know, to sort of do what their what their personality dictates?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great point. My expectations are there'll be some notation about something that they've learned on a personal level. Once sales reps get the hang of it, they go, Ernest, you're just helping me sell more. Yes, I am. But for right now, it might feel like a task. I'm going to teach you something that you're going to use the rest of your life. And frankly, if you continue working with me, you'll see not only how much success it's going to create, but you'll really find that you're going to make more money, renew more, have more fun, and we're going to literally eat the lunch of our competitors, okay? If you don't, you don't, but I'm here to guide and coach you and help you succeed. But if you'll really follow it, I'm sharing with you a tool and a methodology that will forever change your life no matter what you do. It will change your entire focus on selling and sales. Even if you leave me tomorrow or a year from today or 10 years from today, whatever you do in life, you will never forget the conversation I said to you about the importance of this. And I'm hoping all of you were making the same impact here today, because that's how important it is. This is not ho-hum. It's very relevant, and you've got to be very disciplined and focused. Jed, let me give you some examples of the kinds of things that get tucked in here. And this comes from, for those of you that may that recall the book How to Swim Without Being Eaten Alive, is written by Harvey McKay. Harvey McKay sold the single most boring product in the world, white business envelopes. How dry could that be, right, Jed?
Right.
White business envelopes. And Harvey McKay said, but we have an advantage against our competitors. We know 66 things about our competitors. And based on that, we know that, 66 things about our clients and prospects. And our competitors don't know that. And because of that, we have a direct, specific relationship with our clients, and it's part of the key formula to our success. Here are the kinds of things that you want to know about your clients and prospects. I'm just going to give you a couple of examples. Education, you'd like to know where they went to college, the sports that they played, under the heading of military service, military, discharge rank, attitude about being in the service, under the heading of family, spouse, name, occupation, their interests. How about children? How about their sports? Business background, under that heading, how about where they previously were employed? I was working with a company in Toronto, and I learned her name is Michelle. Michelle says, oh, Ernest, I want to meet with you next week. I pull up her LinkedIn profile. I'm going, oh, gosh, Michelle's run her own company for 5 years, but look who she worked for, a direct competitor for 10 years part of that. Wow, that's really interesting information. I'll bring that up when we begin the meeting. Okay, she felt heard. She felt that I really knew about where she had been, and it let the conversation flow even that much faster. She ended up signing a $10,000 contract at the end of that call, which is very interesting. Business background, previous employment, status symbols in their office. For those of you calling on your clients or prospects face-to-face, look around those offices. What are they proud of? The cars they drive, the things on their walls. We know how to do all that. Look for the things where they're professionally involved in their profession or trade. Look also under, for example, things you might learn about their religious beliefs, service clubs they belong to, key clubs, Kiwanis, Masons, those kinds of things. Look for their medical history. My gosh, you might learn that someone, I have a wonderful and dear client that I just learned 3 weeks ago who has leukemia. Holy smokes. Where do you begin talking about someone who has leukemia? And this is a perfectly healthy, one of the healthiest people I've ever met in the world. Every weekend we've chatted or swapped an email back and forth related to that. Their medical history or their family members. How about things they like to eat? Food menu items. For those who know me, they know that I love barbecue beef sandwiches. I love lobster rolls. I mean, all those kinds of things. We get to learn those kinds of things about our clients. Hobbies, recreational, sports, the cars they drive. You get our drift here. These are the kinds of things. So, Jed, when you said earlier, you know, what matters most? There's 66 questions in the McKay 66. It's not what matters most. What matters is you've learned that about your clients and prospects. Does that make sense, Jed?
Right, and that takes time, right?
Does take time. You don't call up a prospect and say, hey, you got a couple hours? I got a 66 question for you. You work it over time. Every single time you engage with that client or prospect, you pull out your list and go, I know this, 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 and that, but I don't know anything about their spouse. Today I'm going to query that if given the opportunity, if and when given the opportunity. It doesn't always happen, right, Jed?
Right, right.
Absolutely not. I mean, listen, this summer we were talking about our travels. You knew that I went to Greece and Turkey, and I sent you some of my pictures. You pinged me as always, your Alaska ones. I'm working my way through. I'm seeing your kids as they've grown up over the years. Hey, it's fun. We have that thread back and forth. You know, it makes it enjoyable as we get rocking here. So, let's see. I want to field a couple of questions. Also, again, by email. Please send an email to Ernest@powerhour.com. We'll tuck those in. But there was a question here that we have from Pat. And Pat says, I know a company who judges all salespeople only by the sales activity in Salesforce and assigns quotas. Is this an old sales management method, and how can one realistically judge activity using a database? Pat responds to that. It is not an old methodology. Activity equals results. So when you have a database, if you have two salespeople selling side by side and they're both working with 200 prospects, and one has made changes or revisions to 100 of the 200, and one has made changes or revisions to 20 of the 200, and then you look at sales performance, you will in fact see the one who's working it the most and the best is also equaling the sales performance. It is very, very rare. Activity, manage the activity, the results will follow, were the key words that Xerox built a multi-billion-dollar company, and they've always been stewards in terms of the sales process. So, no, I do not believe that is an old methodology. That, in fact, I believe there needs to be even more. One of my single biggest observations when I get rolling with my publishing clients is we talk about this. What kind of database? How many prospects? How many salespeople? Who's driving what? Let's go look at performance. Who's driving gross sales? Who's driving net sales? Who's doing what with their renewal retention factors? Who's securing some of the top 5 or 10 clients? Now, once we've covered that, now let's get a little even more granular. Tell me about your sales database. Tell me about activity in that database. And let's go correlate that to sales performance. And, Pat, frankly, they go hand in hand. The rules have not changed. Having specific sales quotas, performance expectations, net gain quotas, those are important, but they have to be reasonable. Sales managers on this call, CEOs, presidents that are joining our call, they have to be reasonable. You can't say, go grow 10 net pages this month when no one's done that in 5 years. Okay? But you can say, sell clean business, sell from the rate card, sell without extra clauses, and then train and sales coach your team in order to handle those and the way that they navigate those. Okay? And by the way, when the kitchen's the hottest, get in there with them. These are tough economic times. You need to be on the front line. Sales coaches, owners, presidents, CEOs that are on this call, you've got to be on the front line. When the kitchen's hot and the renewals are the toughest or the sales are not coming as easy in these economic times, get out, roll up your sleeves, and go do it with them. Nothing will have your team be more proud of you to see you out there rocking with them. You can't just point and say, go get it. You have to show them as well. Another question. Let's see. Kathy sent us a note saying, what are the ideal number of prospects to be managed by an independent sales rep? Kathy, depending on the niche, the sector, geography, and so forth, between about 100 to 200 is about the range. Less than 100 is a little skinny. More than 200 gets a little, I don't know, Jed, the term, but I don't know, it gets unmanageable, right, Jed? Yes. Just a little too much to navigate, right?
Right.
Let's see. Were there any other questions related to number two? Once a database – okay, here's another one. Sherry just pinged us a note. Thank you so much. These questions are great. Once a database is built, what are the tips for efficient maintenance? Okay. Key phrase here, you got to keep things current. Keep it current. It's kind of like mowing your grass. You just have to keep with it, and you have to do it on a regular basis. Ensure that your database is staying current and accurate is absolutely key. Okay? So I hope those responses to the questions were helpful. Sherry and Kathy and Pat, if you have follow-through questions, ping us, and we'll roll this in by email. We're also going to open up the line here in about 15 minutes and see if you have any additional follow-through questions. We'll do that live and tell you how to do that in just a couple of minutes. Let's go to point number three, Jed. Let's talk about the fields in your sales database that are key for sorting, producing reports, and leveraging your sales database. Okay? So, Jed, these are kind of the fields. I'm going to just share with the group, and you and I can banter a bit here. We've got some questions that already have come in related to this even prior to the call. But the sorting of a sales database is only as good as the fields. Only as good as the fields, but you can't have so many fields that you dilute it. So it's a general balance of quantity and quality. Okay. So when we get beyond the, you know, the person's name, the company's name, email, phone number, website, the basics, there are other things that we want from a sales perspective. Some of the things that I like to see coded are hot, warm, cold. Measure the temperature of that prospect. I like to see fields that include clients, prospects, hot prospect, past advertiser. Now, I'm rolling these out as we're sort of bantering and thinking about these. Is for those of you that are listening here today, do know that there is don't take this list and say, okay, Ernest said these were the 20, therefore those are my 20. When we work with our sales clients and publishing clients, we tailor this for every particular need of every particular client. But again, this is a pretty good start if you kind of follow the bouncing ball here. Think about coding them by A, B, and C. A, B, and C is typically like an A advertiser. Okay, an A advertiser can be measured by a variety of different ways. There's other ways to do it other than A, B, and C, but that's one approach. I also like to think about total dollars of buying ability. So rather than even A, B, and C taking it up a notch, you know, that you can code fields that say this has the ability to buy 50 full pages. Or put it in dollars, 50,000 or more, 10,000 to 25,000, 5,000 or less. You can break it out in dollar ranges because it lets you take your database and say, sort for me every hot prospect that spends 25,000 or more. And you take a database of 15,000, and you've now got 25 on your screen in a blink. Boom. Sort for me everyone spending 25,000 or more who's in New York City. I'm going to be there next week. Boom. Up comes a list of 17 people. So you can really get grooving with these sorts, you know, once you get this built. Also, think about attendance at an industry show. Those who attended the last show or those that are attending this show. Jed, I know you were recently at an industry conference. You know, people who attend shows, you know, would be one of those criteria, one of those fields.
I would add to that, and I feel that this is something along the lines of the objection.
Mm-hmm.
If they're not a current advertiser, what's the objection they gave? Because oftentimes, you know, you might have a new product or something may happen that would you know, warrant sort of wanting to reach out to all of the prospects with a similar objection.
Mm-hmm. I love that. The objection might be, you cost too much. The objection might be you're not in the budget. The objection might be you don't have the right circulation, readership, membership, right? Those
right.
kinds of objections?
Yeah, exactly, right.
Love
you know,
it.
I advertise in a competitor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, anything like that. And then as you're, you know, as the landscape shifts, right, then it becomes more relevant for you to approach people for a specific, you know, all of whom share this objection in common.
I absolutely love that. And that is an excellent point for sample objections. So therefore, for example, if the objections were you're not able to bring your publication to the biggest industry show because your rival publication has the exclusive, right?
Yeah, it has to be in the database, but right.
Yeah, no. Well, that field would say not at ABC show. Not at ABC show. That would be my field. Boom. And I would check that box. And so at a point in time when I can attend that show, guess what? I can sort my database and say, who are the ones who said, you know, you're not at that show? Boom, up comes 17 more. Right?
Right.
Okay?
Exactly.
Other fields, sort by editorial focus or seasonal buys.
Right.
So, for example, if this was, if you're a tennis publication and you have those who are in the shoe business, tennis shoe business, you would code and say, yep, they're interested in the shoe editorial. Boom, up comes 26 from 15,000, and you've got those 26 that you could work from. Or those who buy in the fall typically buy fall advertising rather than spring or summer or vice versa. So another way to sort. Okay. Another way, sort by area in your city or sort by zip code. For those of you who work by geography in local markets, city by city, if I've got an appointment up in Hoboken City, I can sort my database by everything in Hoboken. Or if I'm going to sort, you know, in the Northwest, I can sort everyone who's a prospect in the Northwest, and I can go work those or prepare for those. So that's another way to work. For those of you that work across local, regional, and national, you also want to code that differently. That's where you want to tuck in by city or by state. For example, if I travel to Colorado, let me sort everybody in Colorado. Or if I sort everyone in the western United States because I'm going to work the West Coast, by time zone. Another way, for those of you using Excel, you cannot do this at anywhere near the speed or the pace of what we're talking about here. Okay. Another one, sort by ad agency. Where are my ad agencies? Which ones are hot? Which ad agencies are in New York? I'm going to be there next week. Which ad agencies buy seasonally? That's a double sort. Sort by New York, sort by ad agency, sort by the seasonal buy. Boom, boom, boom. Okay? For those of you that are currently using a database, beautiful. I'm hoping it's doing all that you're doing. For those of you that are using it a little bit and not tying in all that we're talking about with these fields, you get a sense of really what's possible here. Okay? And one more quick piece, and then we'll take a couple of questions. Align the fields on your website. When a prospect comes into your website and specifically asks for information, be certain you get the key information that will fit nicely into your sales database. Let me field a question. Joseph writes this and says, what is the best way to set up a meeting, phone or go by? If far away, can you have a meeting over the phone, and what would be the best way to ask and set it up? So, Joseph, yes, selling by phone or selling by face-to-face is the same, but you have to have all your tools in alignment. We've done entire calls about the differences between the two. It's back in the archives. The key piece is what I generally observe, face-to-face, we have better materials and information than we do electronically. They've got to be equally strong. For those of you that primarily work and sell electronically, oftentimes your face-to-face are not as strong, okay? But the answer is the meeting should run the same and should be at a close at the same rate. Let me field one more question. Let's see. I've got a question here from this CEO in Houston, but I don't see a first name. Okay. It says, how do I get sales to national advertisers? What's the process? What do they want to see? How do I contact national advertisers? When is the best time? Let me just say these words about national advertising. Everybody feels it's the holy grail. Be careful what you wish for. If you're local, grab the local. If you're regional, get all of the local before you add the national. If you're national and you're just rolling national, you have got to be ready to compete and be compared to the very best. You've got some of the toughest challenges. You've got to be really smart in the way that you configure your publication, your presentation, and your contacts. Okay? If you need some help in that, or any of you do, to work regional or work national, ping me a note as a follow-up. Jed, that's an entire call all by itself related to working on the national advertisers.
Right.
I'm sorry, I couldn't use the first name of that person who sent that in because it's not there in the on the email.
Let me ask a couple logistical questions, which I imagine might be on some people's mind. I guess if you had to make an estimate for an average salesperson, how much time do you think they should be spending inputting data in a CRM on an average day?
Great question. My belief is it's done real time. The key word is present. You have to be fully present. When you finish up a call with Mary Brown, you've got to load to your CRM what you just gleaned. You've got to make some notes on what you covered, notes on what the questions were, you know, that she had, notes on what the next steps are. That's 1, 2, 3. This is 2 minutes, 3 minutes before you move to the next call. And then you have to pause and you say, now, let me look at the fields that I've got. Has anything changed? Has Mary's title changed? Is Mary still in Hoboken? Is Mary still, you know, is she going to this upcoming show? You still go back and look at your fields to see if anything changed. For example, I spoke with a gentleman this morning who's been for 18 years working for one company. He's no longer there. Guess what I did? Went to the database and made the change. It took just a keystroke. He's no longer working with that company, and he actually moved from client, which is what he was, to candidate. We're going to help him on the recruiting side, and he's looking for some opportunities in the D.C., New York area. So he moved from being a client on one side to now being a candidate on the other side, still in the same field and profession. And I also updated his email address from his corporate one to his personal one, and then we placed that new address into two specific newsletter lists, so he gets our recruiting one and he gets also our industry publication one. All of that, Jed, you know, 60 seconds, 90 seconds, 2 minutes, what's the opposite? If you don't update it, then it's kind of that same garbage in, garbage out. Then you've got a database that's no longer valid, and the person I spoke to today, his name is Paul. Paul's not going to get the information he should be getting, and I've lost track of Paul in a database of 15,000 that Paul's a candidate, no longer a client. You follow me on that?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay?
Yeah, makes sense.
So it's one of those measure twice, cut once. You know, what you put into it is what you get out of it. You know, there's really no shortcut from that perspective.
And what tips would you give people who were just starting out, who were listening to this and said, all right, you know, the system we're using now, you know, isn't doing it. We need to rethink it and upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is there, you know, starting out can be sort of a daunting process, huh?
Really, starting out's the easy part because you have a blank sheet of paper.
Right.
To start and go, right?
Right.
On the other side, what's more challenging is those of you on this call that have legacy systems that have been around forever and it doesn't provide all of that we're talking about, or the flip side, it's not being used. Sales leaders, sales coaches on this call, those of you who are the presidents and CEOs of your publishing company, man, oh, man, I'm hoping you jump off this call and go, I'm going to go look in my sales database right now. We spent a lot of money for that. All right, what's in there? Who is updating information? What kind of information is being put in there? Are we maximizing it? And that really kind of dovetails right into our last point, and then we're going to pause and open the lines here. But, you know, in the last point, you say, how do you monetize this? Well, as a starting point, you can sort and you can pull out information. But the key piece is you can also use this to drive direct mailings. You can drive it. You can use this to drive marketing at upcoming shows you're going to be at because you can sort and sift. You can use this to drive your e-newsletter marketing. Okay, make a note right here that says you need a newsletter every 30 days, every single 30 days that goes out to your clients and prospects. Where does that newsletter information come from? Right here. Because what you might send out to automotive versus retail versus your ad agencies is slightly tailored. And it's easy to do with this kind of database that you can tailor one newsletter and tweak it three or four different ways to serve the advertisers or the readers. As a side note, we've done this in prior calls. You also need a newsletter once a month to the readers of your publication. Okay? Separate. That's a separate conversation. But for the purpose of today, you can use your database. Here's another key tip, and then we'll pause. Another key tip is you can take your database and you can sort it by the sector, or you can sort it by the company name. So, for example, if you're working with Frito-Lay and you've got one name, there might be three or four other names in there that it causes you to pause and go, boy, we don't have enough depth. We don't have enough depth here in terms of that company and that opportunity. Okay? So very important point from that perspective that you can use this to drive revenue. Ultimately, it helps you prioritize your day. It helps you give you a daily calendar. It helps you with your marketing engine. All right? And it also helps you sort and sift. If you say, gosh, it's the 15th of October. Who's on first? Where are my best opportunities? You know what? Let me go sort by my past advertisers. I'm going to work through that. No, let me go sort through the southwest section of my area. No, let me go sort by who was at last year's show, who's going to be at this year's show. You've got all of those abilities every step of the way. Okay? So key opportunity, and that's how we drive revenue. So, Jed, to your point, when you're smaller, it's easy. Start simple. Be consistent. And when it's larger, you have to get your arms around it. It's like herding sheep, and you pause and go, wow, are we all doing it correctly? Okay, so there's two challenges. I just saw a quick note from Jay. Jay, you were asking about the LinkedIn group. Just go to LinkedIn, sort by groups, and put it advertising, sales, success, and then it continues, packaging, website, and print strategy. But I believe if you just put in advertising sales success, you can drop right in. I'd love to see many of you come join us. We're having a lot of conversations and a lot of dialogue related to publishing and advertising success, and we'd love to have you come chime in and participate and at the very least see what we got cooking, okay? So advertising sales success, and Jay, I just put that in. When you put in advertising sales success, we're the third listing, and we're rocking with that, okay? You'll see that's posted. Jed, let's pause here. We covered an incredible amount of information. I want to pause, have you say a couple of closing words. I will as well. Then I'm going to talk about how we're going to open up our line and open this up to the group. So how about some closing words to the group related to our topic here today?
Great. Well, I think, as you mentioned, you covered a lot of ground. I think all of this is important but the real proof is sort of in the implementation, a lot of the ideas that we express here today, you know, probably can be tweaked, you know, for your individual situation, but it's certainly worth implementing and certainly worth spending some time on. And again, I want to thank Ernest, who who, as he once again proved, brings the majority of the knowledge to these calls.
You know, you are so kind, but in the end, Jed, we couldn't do this unless we were rocking here together. So it's absolutely a pleasure to be working together, and a delight. And to all of you, and let's see, I can see a couple of you actually already pinged into the LinkedIn group. That's great, and thank you for your questions and comments along the way. Please know that all the work that we do on these calls is designed to help publishing professionals succeed, no matter what we talk about, whether it's ad sales, competitive sales, media comparisons, media summaries, pay-for-performance advertising, your distribution, your circulation, your media kits, call tracking, no matter what it is we do, it's always about helping you compete stronger and better. We've done this for years and years together, Jed and I. We're delighted that you're here. It's a pleasure working with all of you. Again, this is Ernest with Power Hour. Delighted to be rocking Jed with you. I'm going to go ahead and pause Jed and then come back, and we'll talk about how to open up the line for the group till the bottom of the hour here, okay?
Great.
So give me just a second.